I'm fresh. I'm fresh. Yes, on a permanent team. You could say I'm fresh to death, I'm eternally clean. Used to walk to my own beat of drum internally state, but went from enemies to intimacy. I've been redeemed through the cross and I floss in his paternal regime. No more living single, it's like I done turned on regime. In the body, I got it, what fraternity means. He propelled my hell so there will be no burning of me. Hello and welcome to Conversations with Max. This is the podcast where I'm talking with my son, who is Max, and I'm David Mullen, and we're talking about adolescence, or the lack thereof, I guess, right? And about growing up in this world and in this culture, and the way to look at it. And I'm Max's dad, and we are a team, and we like to go for it, and we just want to have some conversations. So a few years ago, Max and I started taking walks and talks together. I'm an old athlete, and all I got left is in my knees is enough to walk. So Max, doing his sprints and doing his running, kindly consented to go along with me on my walks. And those walks turned into talks, and those talks have turned into what is now becoming television shows and movies and documentaries and a book that we're doing together. And we just want to share some of those conversations with you. So everybody, welcome Max, Max Mullen. Say hi, Max.
Hello. How's it going?
Well, it's going good. But anyway, for me, the essential question, the first question, is basically started out is like, really, what makes a man a man? Because, you know, I mean, you guys out there know what we're talking about. You start growing up and you start getting hair in funny places and you start getting chemicals dumped out of your pituitary gland into your bloodstream. And you start feeling urges, don't you? You know, and those things are not the things that make a man. So really, I think, you know, it's probably our talk started probably because we wanted to talk about, you know, the sex talk, if you will. You know, but you know, you want to have more than the sex talk. You want to have the talk about. You want to have to talk about, you know, really what makes a man a man. And because I don't want you to be defined, Max, I don't want you to be defined by, like, what you are not. Like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to have sex with girls. I'm not going to jerk off. I'm not going to, like, look at porn. I'm not going to, like, you know, date. I'm not going to do. I don't want you to have all these, and that's who Max Mullen is. I want you to have positive things. Like, it's like, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. And that's what makes Max Mullen. And one of the things I do is that I don't do these certain things. You know what I mean? And the reasons behind that and why I don't do them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Kind of.
Kind of?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think I'm saying?
Like, by doing something, you're not doing the other thing. Like,
I'm just saying here. by doing positive things. I'm saying, like, I want people to know you for taking care of the poor, for looking out for the lowly guy, you know, the nerd, the geek, the unlovable at school. You know, I want them to know you more for that than I want them to know you for, oh, Max is the virgin. You know what I mean? And stuff. I want you to be a virgin because I want them to say, oh, Max is a believer in Jesus. And he has decided to be a virgin also. You see what I'm saying? So it's something positive that you've decided to do that says, I won't do this. And not just all the won'ts and do nots and do, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And that's what makes you who you are, you know. I mean, who do you see yourself as? I mean, what are you? Who is Max Mullen?
He's a 14-year-old kid who goes to Brentwood Academy. Follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Likes to play sports.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. Likes to talk a lot.
Likes to talk a lot. Oh, really? Oh, really? I'm trying to get you to talk here. and I
we'll
can't
talk
get you to
when
talk.
I'm not supposed to.
Yeah, I do that a lot too. Yeah, I have that same problem. You know what I'm saying? But the I think that what makes a man really starts with by asking, you know, who you are in a positive sense, like who, what are you in the garden, you know, like before, you know, before there was a fall, before people fell into sin, before Adam and Eve, you know, ate of the fruit and all that, right? That there was God and he was in perfect union with us, you know, he was with us all the time, right? And he met all our needs, so we were secure, right? Mm-hmm. And gave us stuff to do, and stuff meant stuff because we were doing stuff for our dad who created us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then comes that awkward moment when we sin, and all of a sudden we know we're naked, you know, and all of a sudden we know good from bad, and immediately, you know, we're separated from God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And spend our whole life, you know, trying to be accepted by people. We get nervous, right? Do you get nervous, like, when you think you might be thought stupid?
Yes.
Yeah, like, give me an example.
Like, maybe asking a question in class or something. Or, like...
asking a question in class?
Well, I mean, sometimes I ask something, but I feel like it's going to be, like, a dumb question.
Right, right. Or... like, what if you walk into a room full of girls? What's that feel like? And it's just girls.
It'd be weird.
Right. And you're...
like, you know, my homebros, you know, not there.
Right. Are you nervous?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't want to fart or something like
that. Fart or fart. Might do something. And if you do that, they'll laugh. And
probably
that would hurt your feelings because... you're not being accepted. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if it was your bros and you walk in, you lay down a little gas and you're like, pardon me. Right? And
yeah.
That's all it is. So, yeah. You know, so we have this problem with accepted. We don't feel secure at all. Like, people, you can't ever have good enough grades, can you? You're never a fast enough 40 time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never feel secure in your job. As a man, I don't feel secure in my job. You know, you're always like trying to do this. A lot of people feel like they don't have enough money. Kids, like, a lot of times feel like they're going to lose their position or their power or their popularity or whatever by doing something. So it's always, you're never secure. Like, stuff is never secure. So it's the exact opposite of how it was before the fall. You know, you're complete security, complete acceptance. And then, like, without the Lord, there's no meaning. Because it's like, if there is no God, if Jesus didn't really come, nothing means anything. Because it's like, what meaning really do words like good and bad have? It's like, why? Why is it good? I mean, it's like, Tuesday's good, Wednesday's bad. I mean, it just wouldn't make, there's just no meaning to anything. You know what I mean? But with Jesus, because he is who he says he is, and he proved that he was who he says he was by raising himself from, and then all the stuff that he says has become true. And if all those things are true, then they give life meaning, you know? And So for me, that's kind of like where you start. It's like, if you can really believe those things and submit yourself to those things and not see them as silly and not laugh at them or scoff at them, because the whole world is, right? I mean, Christian school, even. How many of your friends are really believers out of 100%?
15%.
Mm-hmm. Really? That low?
Well, I mean, from what it looks, I haven't asked, but I mean, from looks.
Right, and so, asks. Right. So, and then you just like, if you have to ask, then it's like, if you were a Christian, if you were a criminal, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know what I mean? It's like, you just don't know, you know? What I guess I'm saying is, like, what do guys in your grade think makes them popular?
Oh, like having the most friends, you know, and who goes out with who. Like the.
So guys who are in the 7th and 8th grade are already, like, talking about stuff like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do you think about, like, going out with girls? I mean, what do you think, Max Mullen?
Well,
I mean, sometimes all the time, sometimes do you want a girlfriend?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, Mom always says, like, are you ready to have a child or, you know, take care of a family? And
you ready to get married?
No, I'm not. So, I mean, you know, it's obvious that you don't need one, but you still have wants.
Yeah. And, right, so, like, wanting to, you know, to be, and you can't, I mean, we're not, like, stupid, you know what I mean? We know you have special friends that are girls, but the whole thing of, like, going out and going to the movies and being my girlfriend and I buy you rings and we kiss and we suck face and all that kind of stuff like that. I mean, that's just, that's like being married without any of the responsibility. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like guys are like, kind of like in your grade anyway, are like into girls. And so that makes the men more manly. How many, or like, or if they're really popular, you say how many friends they had or whatever. That, you mean, like, popular? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, popular friends, yeah.
And then, and how strong they are, right, probably?
Yeah, how much weight they can lift. Yeah.
How fast they can run. So it's all these physical things. And it's kind of like, you know how, like, we have talked about before, how, like, God has made us, like, spiritual beings. Then he's made us intellectual beings, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then he's made us physical beings. Spiritual, that's just your spirit, man, right? And that's the one that has to actually be changed. That's the one Jesus came to, like, restore fellowship with, right? That spiritual being. Because why? Because the spirit can never what?
It never dies.
It never dies, right? So that's the one you really want to change, right? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, even though he's come and restored that link, we still have, and that's really kind of where the battlefield is. I mean, like, when you feel tempted, where do you feel tempted?
Your head.
Inside your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what else, like, kind of follows, like, you, what do you
feel?
Feel, yeah. And what is feeling? That's some.
It's a thought.
Thoughts and emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it's like half strong willpower, maybe. Willpower, you know? So, like, inside of that mind part, there's the minds, there's emotions, there's your will or willpower,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the only thing reining all that in is your spirit, you know what I mean? It's like pulling the reins, your conscience, because your spirit also is coupled with the spirit of God. And he's trying to,
yeah.
You know what I mean? All the time. And then, but none of those things really takes into account, though, the last part that he creates. There's the spirit, there's the mind, and there's the
physical body.
The body, right. Yeah. And it, so if he can't catch you in your spirit and rein you in your mind, you know, what's going to follow?
Your body.
Your body. That's exactly. Like, and I think we know what part of the body is going to follow, right? So that's the part we're really trying to rein in, because it's just natural. I mean, literally, we joke about it. But it's like pouring gas into your blood, you know what I mean? You're just like this full, and then lightning on fire. I mean, it's like, it's really hard, because it's your the chemical reactions in your body are trying to take you into be a man. So physically, I'm telling you guys, dude is big. Like, he's 160, 170. 5'6", 5'7", you know, really a big dude, you know. And so, I mean, I know men who are not that big. And I know men who are not as well developed as you are, you know. And that's the thing. So you got this man's body, but this child's thinking that's still there. And that's why we talk, right?
Yeah.
It's like trying to figure all that out. So, yeah, the next time when we talk, that's what we'll talk about, okay? We'll talk about how to differentiate, like, between being a child and being a man of adolescence. How about that? That sound good? Okay, we'll be right back with the conversation. Bye.
Betty had a baby down in Bama, but she didn't have a wedding ring. She talked to the preacher, Lord, how she talked, but the preacher couldn't hear a thing. She was in a fell panic. till she met some mechanic. Think that his name was Fred. He told about Jesus and how his love freed us, and this is what he said.
We're back on Conversations with Max, and one of the questions we get most often is like, I want to study the Word with my son. I don't know how to do it. I've got the, you know, the Hamites, the Cushites, the Jezebusites, the Mosquito Bites, right? All of them and everything. And so what we thought we'd do is Max and I studied the Bible together every day, and we read a really helpful book on how to apply Scripture to just your everyday life, no matter where you're getting it from. And so what we thought we'd do as part of, as a feature, is just to show you how we go through Scripture together and how we apply it to our lives, even when it seems sort of, you know, vague and not applicable. We're reading today from Nehemiah 13, because that's where we're at in the Bible right now. We're on our first read-through of the book together, and it says, read aloud. The people of God have been gone away, and they have been in Babylon in captivity. They've all come back. They've rebuilt the walls. Nehemiah has been put in charge of putting the city of Jerusalem back together, and they're reading from the law, and they're all sort of listening to him and affirming in a covenantal contract sort of way what he's reading. And on that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people. And there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted to the assembly of God, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but hired Balaam to call down a curse on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing. And when the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel. Before this, Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of God. He was closely associated with Tobiah and had provided him with large rooms formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine and oil prescribed for the Levites, singers, and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions of the priest. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem. That's Nehemiah speaking. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked his permission to come back to Jerusalem. And here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's house to purify the rooms. And then I put back into the equipment of the house of all the equipment back into the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and singers responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials, and I asked them, why is the house of God neglected? And then I called them together and stationed them at their post. And all of Judah brought their tithes of grain, new wine, and oil into the storerooms. And I put Shelemiah, the priest, Zadok, the scribe, and a Levite named Pedaiah in charge of the storerooms, and made Hanan, son of Zachar, the son of Mattaniah, their assistant, because these men were considered stuck out to you during that part.
When Eliashib, I think that's what his name, when everyone else was gone, that out of all the places he picked the house of the Lord to let the dudes sleep in.
Right. So, you've got to imagine, right, that they've gone through all this stuff, all this evil stuff. They all get rounded up. They slaughter everybody. They take all the wealthy people and all the greatest people in Israel off into captivity, right? So, it's like, you know, they've been gone, what, you know, some 100 years almost, you know. And here we are, you know, finally getting back. Finally allowed to rebuild, restore the temple, finally allowed to do a really good cleansing. they actually go through, because we've already read Nehemiah, we know that they've already gone through and weeded out anybody who didn't even have pure blood, who was not in the kingdom of Israel itself. So we know that they've gone through all that, and they've put away their wives and children who were not of pure blood, so that everybody who was there was completely and utterly consecrated to God. And as soon as Nehemiah goes away,
they commit another sin.
They start doing stuff again. Yeah. It's almost like when Moses goes up to the mountain and he comes down and they're worshiping.
They
have a calf. Yeah, they have a calf that they're worshiping, right? So Nehemiah is all pretty much just that one guy that you're saying, Eliashib. So takes steps and throws him and the guy that he gave a room in the temple to, threw him out, other thing, and cleansed it and did everything. But how does that apply to me today? I mean, what is that like in your life? Say you do something wrong.
Yeah, something I'm not supposed to do. Oh, like, if I had been told not to do it multiple times and someone, like, they leave, mm-hmm. like, I'm by myself, no one's watching, I do it again, and they come back and I find out, then, I mean, they'd be furious, too.
Right. And you take the time, you know what I mean, to beg, and you get down before the Lord, and you say, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And he takes you back, and he gives you the means of, like, weeding this thing out of your life, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you do, and then everything kind of calms down a little bit, and the authority figure walks off, like maybe me, mom, maybe it's the Lord himself, pastor, youth pastor, somebody. And immediately, you like go, well, pressure's off, back at it. You know what I mean? And you do the thing. So that's how it is. So it's like we have to like constantly be looking to purge ourselves from that. And how do we do that? How do we come in contact with God every day?
By reading his word, you know, praying, having your own one-on-one time with him.
Responsibility for you to, like, make sure?
No.
Will I oversee you?
Yes.
I will. But is it my responsibility?
No.
Because it's just your belief. Right?
Okay.
Good deal. We'll be back on Conversations with Max. We are back on Conversations with Max, and in this segment, we're just going to talk about stuff we do together, some of the junk we get to do together. Also, there is a fun fact that we just thought that we had to share with you, and that is about Olympic sports, right? There are two sports that you may not know.
It is an Olympic sport.
But they were at some point. What were they?
They were tug of war. And croquet.
And that's really important that you should all know that, because that's something that we watched tonight on TV together. And it's a stupid fun fact, and it's something you can do together. So anyway, have you been reading any good books lately?
Yeah, recently we started a book called
Safely Home. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's by Randy Alcorn. And what's it all about?
It's about this Chinese family in China. It's a Christian family,
mm-hmm.
and they're going through persecution. And
didn't the Chinese man used to live in America, right?
Well, the Chinese man's son had mm-hmm. moved to America because he got a scholarship from Harvard.
Right,
and while he was there,
right,
he met his roommate. His name was Ben Fielding, and Christ, and the man's name was Lee Chuan.
And then subsequently, Ben Fielding falls away from the Lord while Lee Chuan goes back to China. And then 20 years later, Ben Fielding comes back as a corporate
businessman
just trying to open up trade with China and gets reconnected with Lee Chuan and his family. and Lee Twan's family is the one that's getting persecuted. So it's really like eye-opening, isn't it? Like, in terms of like what is
persecution?
Persecution, yeah, and how easy we have it here in the United States sometimes, and what's really scary and
the hard stuff really for us is, well, we read about how some of the church had to like there was house churches that they couldn't go to anymore because people who would be coming would making too much noise at night, and I thought that was really interesting because, you know, they less the time that they get together in church, and they take away the opportunity to go to house churching.
Right. Also. Mm-hmm. Like, it's interesting too that they drew the American guy as such a, like, you know, like his inconveniences, yeah, are like, yeah, like, yeah, we just didn't get along. Me and my wife got a divorce. We just didn't get along, and you know how it is. And like the lady is like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, because like we don't eat food. We have a potato for a week, and we don't really have time for all that foolishness and stuff. So that, yeah, you have to really stand together when it gets tough. You know, that's really struck me a lot about it. But I'm looking forward to finishing that book. By the way, what's going on in your world? What's the big things right now in your own life? In just what's the big news? What's going on? Pretty much every day is what?
An adventure.
An adventure, is it? Okay, why?
Well, at football, I'm having trouble.
There you go. Football. Every day it's football, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we just started a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a little kid, I grew up, you know, learning how to catch and everything. You know, got ready, like,
a big boy football.
Yeah, but shockingly, they had a weight limit, and I wasn't able to play, so they had to put me online.
Mm.
I kind of got stuck with it, but now it's, like, my chance. It's eighth grade, pretty much, you know, almost now or never, but I mean, it'd be tougher if I wouldn't ask now, but me to ask because I'm afraid, you know, I don't know what he would say. Coach would say yes or no.
Right. So now let's take, like, what we're talking about today. If my identity, seriously, if my identity is that I'm a forgiven person, like, and I'm secure because no matter what happens to me, the worst thing that can happen is that I'm in heaven and be with the Lord forever.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything that gives meaning to my life is that with the Lord, I mean, then what can man do to me? Really, seriously. What can he can only make you feel foolish. And you know this, Coach, right?
Right.
Right? Is he going to make you feel foolish?
Probably not.
Probably not. You know? And if what's the worst thing he could possibly say?
Big no.
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 That's all I can say is no. You know? So it's my advice to you. It's like really seriously, like, go. I really don't see your identity in like whether he says yes or no, but to really see like yourself as, I'm a child of God, and my dad and mom are awesome, and they aren't going to love me any less if I'm a running back, a receiver, or if I play the line. And just so y'all know, like, Max is an awesome football player. He's a stud. He's played in two national championship teams and done all this kind of stuff, and it's been very, very, you know, just very prominent on all those teams. So now he's at a school where it's really a different story. Everybody is really, really good, and so it's very competitive. And he's still, in my opinion, the best player on the team. So it's just where he's going to go and what he wants to do and what he wants to follow. So if you think about it, just pray for us, you know. Pray for us. Just going to keep walking through this. Max has just turned 14 within the last 2 weeks, and we're here to share our journey with you as Max makes the transition from childhood to manhood, and we just want you to hear the conversations that we're having along the way. So we'll see you next time on
Conversations with Max.
Oh, yeah.